Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the press conference for Footnote, showing in competition at the 2011 Cannes Film Festival. It's certain that this film is not going to be a footnote to the festival, since it comes immediately after its press screening was picked up by Sony Pictures for North American and Latin American rights. It gives great presence, or adds to the presence of the film, not that the film needs it. I'm going to introduce our guest today. We're glad to have many of the people involved in the film with us. I'll start at the far end of the table with Arik Kneller, who's going to be helping us with interpreting. Next to him, in the role of Eliezer Shkolnik, the philologist, Shlomo Bar Abba. Great to have him. The Israeli Walter Matthau, I think some people have called him. The scriptwriter and director, it's his fourth feature, his first time in Cannes, Joseph Cedar. And after the Israeli Walter Matthau, Israeli's leading man, heartthrob, in the role of Uriel Shkolnik, Lior Ashkenazi. I'll start the press conference perhaps with a question. I've lost my train of thought. Why the Talmud? Why is the Talmud at the center of this film?
That's a question to me.
Please, or to anyone.
Yeah. I wasn't familiar with the Talmud department at the Hebrew University. I wasn't familiar with the Talmud department before I started working on this film. But once I began hearing stories from within the department, it was clear that this narrative had to take place there. I met stubborn academics on an epic scale, people who've been working on an esoteric, really obscure area of research for their entire life, afraid to complete it because there might be a mistake somewhere, and as a result, never really publishing anything, and rivalries that have been going on for generations that that were violent and harsh, really beyond anything I've heard of. So as these stories surfaced, I fell in love with the people who occupy this department, and the movie took on its shape because of the Talmud department.
In Beaufort, in your previous film, you were dealing with conflict within a society and a conflict without society, an external source of conflict as well. Here, it's conflict almost like a civil war, a war within the society, also a war between generations.
Yeah, I agree. there's, I'm afraid to interpret things that might be understood without me interpreting them. So, nicely said.
Thank you. We have a question over here, please.
I'm Gabi Flossmann from Austrian Television. Actually, we met at the Berlin Film Festival, and you said at that time that Beaufort was a very personal film to you. So I wonder, this rivalry between intellectual rivalry between father and son, how personal is that for you?
Very personal. You bring it in the context of my previous movie. I think I can safely say my movies are personal. All of them.
He brought his parents to the festival. They were sitting in the first row, and it was the most exciting thing for him.
And did they recognize themselves also in the movie?
I hope not. You know, there's one thing that they brought me up on that seemed like the highest value. Really, nothing comes near to this as an educational value, and that's self-humor. So hopefully they came to Cannes with enough of that.
That's what I also, if possible, I wanted to ask. This sense of humor you're showing in this movie, and it seemed to me more than in the previous movies. Is it sort of that with wisdom and maybe some age, there comes humor?
Hopefully. You know, if I can shed some of the pathos that I've had in my previous movies, that has to be a good direction. And you know, I'm working with two actors who are very hard to take seriously. So I can thank them for whatever humor exists in this film.
Okay, thank you.
And yet there are moments of extreme pathos in the film.
Again, thank you.
Please.
Oui, il y a vraiment le thème de la rivalité entre les chercheurs talmudiques, le thème de la rivalité entre père et fils. Et ce que je voudrais savoir, si est-ce que ce thème de la rivalité n'est pas aussi prétexte à exprimer un très grand désir de reconnaissance de la part du père et du fils?
There's the theme of rivalry is so present in the film. On the one hand, you have the deep rivalry between the father and son, between the different Talmudic scholars. Is this theme of rivalry in the film a pretext for dealing with the desire for the longing for recognition?
Anyone want to?
רובנו, בוא נאמר, מרגישים נורא חסרי ביטחון ונורא זקוקים לפידבק כדי להיות, להרגיש ראויים.
I think that most of us are very insecure and feel that we need lots of feedback in order to feel worthy.
גם אלה שבזים לרייטינג, בסתר ליבם הם רוצים פרס, הם רוצים אישור.
Even the ones who mock rating or put down rating inside of them, inside somehow, they need recognition, they need acknowledgement.
ולכן האבא שבעצם בז לזה כל הסרט, אני אבל לא רוצה לגלות את הסוף, אז אני אפסיק פה את התשובה.
He says, well, the father really mocks it, but I don't want to tell the end of the story, so I'll stop the answer right now.
Leo, do you have anything to add?
What?
Leo, do you have anything to add?
No, Leo. I think it was... Yeah.
Yes, please. Can we have the mic in the middle?
Hi, good morning, and good luck with the movie. I have two questions. The first one is for the actors. Can you say a few words about your experience here in Cannes? I saw you yesterday, very emotional, and you, also you, Joseph. So can you say a few words about it? And in the beginning of the movie, I saw lots of names of productions and channels in Israel. So how it's complicated to make a movie in Israel? Thank you.
Yesterday it was like illusion. It was like a positive parody on Hollywood, you know, hundreds of photographers, and it's unproportional, but it was like a chagiga
celebration
של העולם הבא.
Of the next world.
No, it is a big fun, a big fun. About making movies in Israel, אני חושב שדווקא הסרט הזה, שלא מדבר על הסכסוך, שהולך אל הפרטי...
I think that specifically this movie that does not handle from Israel, that does not deal with a conflict, but goes into a very private story.
הוא משקף כמה אנחנו מייחלים בארץ לחיים נורמליים.
It reflects of how much we... desire normality in our lives in Israel.
התלמוד אגב, אפרופו השאלה הראשונה,
the Talmud אפרופו going back to the first question.
הסבא שלי אגב, שהיה הרב הראשי של פולין ונספה בשואה, היה חוקר תלמוד.
My grandfather who was a big rabbi and a big researcher of Talmud who was killed in the Holocaust.
הוא אמר שבעצם התלמוד, שזה הנושא של הסרט, במשפט אחד, זה מה שאתה לא רוצה שיעשו לך, אל תעשה למישהו אחר, או במילה אחת חמלה.
He said that the Talmud, in one sentence, is what don't do to others, what you don't want them to do to you, or in one word, compassion.
קצת חסר לנו חמלה עכשיו בארץ ישראל, אבל אנחנו מייחלים לזה שזה ישתפר בקרוב.
We lack compassion in the place where we come from, but we really hope, we are hopeful it will come back.
Thank you. Question about producing
yeah,
Israel.
Yeah, Well, the credits in the beginning are a result of our financial needs. The more we kept on editing the special effects in the film, the more credits were added on to the beginning, and we're appreciative of all of them. You know, I think in any country, it's hard to make a film because it's hard to understand what a story is about and how to crack open a character and give it a beginning and an end so that audiences understand what you want. Israel isn't different in that way. It's really difficult to get a story on the screen, regardless of any of the technical or logistical problems.
Question in the back, sir.
Bonjour. On est surpris dans l'idée de la transmission de voir le fils avec une kippa et pas le père.
Given the sense of a transmission filiation in the film, we're surprised that the son wears a kippa in the film, but the father doesn't.
That is a great question. Thank you for noticing that.
Thank you for telling that.
Okay, this is an intimate conversation between us. More intimate than I thought it would be. Usually it's the opposite. It's the father who's the traditional, and he's the one who has the religious symbols, and the sons or the next generation rebel and go on and search for their freedom. For Eliezer's character, the kippah is just a symbol, and he's against symbols, right? He's someone who's looking for the content, the truth, and has no fanfare. And the kippah symbolizes folklore, an exotic, shallow, superficial religiosity that he opposes in the deepest way. And his son, as his rebellion is spiritual, enjoys the folklore, likes the tribal idea of wearing a symbol, the solidarity that creates. It's not something that I thought would be noticed in Cannes, but it's actually a very big part of the difference between these two characters.
There's a question here in the second row.
Oui, l'univers de votre film m'a beaucoup fait penser à l'univers littéraire de la littérature juive américaine, Chaim Potok, Malamud, Philip Roth. Est-ce que vous êtes inspiré par ces auteurs?
The universe of the film reminded me very much of the universe of American literary authors, Jewish authors such as Potok, Malamud, and Philip Roth. Saul Bellow also, of course. Is this something you're familiar with? Has it influenced your work or your vision?
How do you answer that question without pretension? Of course, you know, it's... There's a Jewish world that American literature has been able to export to the larger public that is fantastic. It has this luscious, deep, interesting texture to it. And I don't know if it's an inspiration more than it is a reference to them, but yes, you know, that I would hope so.
In the film we hear, there are more important things than the truth. Is that something you believe?
You know, this is what goes through. When you first say that line, there are things more important than the truth. The initial response is, right, there are things more important than the truth. Like what? Peace in the world, love, health. Things that are, you know. But then when you think about it another day, actually, no, nothing is more important than the truth. That's my personal feeling.
Thank you. Deuxième s'il vous plaît.
Hello, Emilio Olivier from RCF Alpha. I wanted to know if from the beginning you had the aim of doing the choice of big effects from the music, camera and everything, like we see in Hollywood, but for an intellectual and very funny aim.
You know, those two areas of our work, the effects and the music, are a result of a collaboration with very serious artists. A designer who named Michal Wolf, who was one of the first people to read the script, and not only designed the effects, but was part of designing, together with the DP, the look of the film. And the music became a character in the film. It's in the forefront of the story. It's kind of, the way I see it now, it's kind of a synthesis between an harmonious world that is represented by Uriel and a screeching, off-pitch sound that seems to be Eliezer's soundtrack. And there are big chunks in the film that have no music, but when the music is there, it's there with all its glory. And I can't think of any external references other than what we thought, this is what the story needs.
And it was from the beginning you decided this, or it came later, or you had from dès le début du dès que vous avez écrit le scénario, dès que vous avez eu l'idée du film, vous aviez déjà cette mise en scène et cette musique, le fait que la musique sera un personnage principal.
And let me add by asking about the special effects, the way the text is presented, for example.
Okay, those are two separate questions.
Okay.
No, things evolved. The way this process worked for us, the more we progressed with making the film, turning the ideas into something that you can see on screen, we understood what it needs. The music started out with a suggestion that our sound designer gave us, a score by Alfred Schnittke. Maybe some of you are familiar with him. And we worked, Einat, our editor, worked with that score. And then when we had to finalize the music, we approached a composer who works in that style, Amit Poznanski, and it slowly evolved.
And for the mise en scène, for the directing, big effects and everything, you decided from... since you had the idea of this movie, you decided to realize it this way.
More than my previous films, this one is extremely well planned in advance. Mm. It had to be. We worked with storyboards, and some of the sequences were really planned out down to the smallest detail, very much like. Like the way Eliezer would make a movie. You know, one of the big things that threatens Eliezer is the big picture. Mm-hmm. And Uriel loves the big picture. For him, the smaller the detail, the more control you feel. You know, if you're just dealing with one little thing, life, the world seems controllable. But if you have to deal with the big picture, there's so many things that can go wrong and might be off. And on the other hand, Uriel is someone who doesn't have patience for details and says, you know, there's this line, you know, God is in the details. For him, no, God is definitely in the big picture. He has no patience for details. Mm-hmm. We made the movie like Eliezer. The big picture was really threatening, and we spent all our energy focusing on every little detail, and if we got that right, that was enough for that day.
Lior, does your way of approaching the role similar? Is it similar to the character who you're playing? Are you a big picture person, or in preparing this role, did you spend days in the Talmudic department observing your colleagues?
Do I look like a Talmud professor?
In the film, you do.
No, it was. We had a big preparation. It was like something like 8 months before pre the screening, the shooting. Some of it was for the beard, and it was kind of hard because I wasn't familiar with the Talmud before. just heard about it or learned in school, but not. So I had to get into this world of the academic world, actually, in the Hebrew University. And it was kind of funny, in a way.
Thank you.
I hope to deal with it.
The scene in which you're defending your father's reputation and trying to stand up for him is extraordinary. That's there's the comic side of the film, but here is the side which is extremely dramatic.
All the comic scenes are extremely dramatic, you know. You can't do a comedy without drama. I mean, it's the base of every comedy, so... Yeah, we worked hard about this scene. We shoot this scene for 3 days, and it was at the beginning of the movie, with just the three first days of the movie. So we all had to, you know each other and the actors. I mean, we were working hard there. Yeah.
Thank you. There's a question in the back.
Lior Ashkenazi, est-ce que en préparant votre rôle, vous avez pensé à Robert De Niro dans Raging Bull?
If I what? Again?
De Niro בשור הזוהם. האם חשבת על De Niro בשור הזוהם שעבדת על התפקיד?
I always thinking about De Niro when I'm doing...
We always think about De Niro.
I love you because he's the president.
Because I, you know, because of my weight, or
maybe. No, you, when, and I am not the only one. Mais quand vous avez changé, quand on connaît le beau gosse que vous êtes habituellement, on est surpris. J'ai même mis un certain temps à vous reconnaître. C'est votre regard où je me suis dit, moi qu'il cherchait dans le film, en fait, il est là.
Which means,
just a.
אתה נורא השתנית,
כן.
השתנית, וזה משהו נורא לא טיפוסי.
As an actor,
לא יכלו כמעט להכיר אותך בסרט, וזה נורא לא טיפוסי.
I had very funny scenes last night, because there were many people who didn't recognize me after the screening, and they were looking at me, and they said, oh, look, meet Lior Ashkenazi, and they were like, oh, who? I said, I'm the actor in the movie. So this is the biggest compliment an actor can have. As an actor, you usually look for these kind of roles to transform to something else, to transform to another person. And I had the chance to do it in this movie, because in other movies that I had or was making, it was kind of me, you know. There wasn't any filters or I just, you know, played. I could see myself in the characters that I played. But here, I mean, it was I had to change body-wise and vocally and everything. And I hope I will have more kind of roles like that, I mean.
Shlomo, for a philologist, someone who deals with words, you say so little in the film. Is this was this also a stretch for you, an unusual role?
Yeah.
It's a chance to thank Cedar personally, because I am for the last 20 years I am a theater actor and comedian, a noisy comedian. When I came to the movie, after the first take, he told me, here we are, it's a movie, it's not a theater. And he told me the story about Jack Lemmon. When Jack Lemmon, he was also a theater actor, but in his first movie with the famous director George Cukor, after the first take, the director told him, Jack, please, if you can act a little bit less. After the second take, please, Jack, a little bit less. And again and again. After 12 takes, he came to him, Jack Lemmon, and said, I don't know what you mean. You want me not to act at all? He told him exactly what I want. So that's the way he...
You should understand that Mr. Baraba here is like our... it's like the Israeli Peter Sellers. He's the Peter Sellers of Israel. I mean, he's the biggest comedian in Israel.
You want to play your part?
You want to play my part?
Yes.
But yes, it was okay.
No.
Daber ata.
It's typical to Israel. No? but I want to say in Hebrew, it would be better. בתיאטרון אני עושה הרבה רעש עכשיו במעגל הגיר הקפקזי של ברכט למשל.
In the theater I do a lot of noise, for example now that I play in the Caucasian Chalk Circle by Bertolt Brecht.
הרבה תחפושות.
A lot of masks.
הרבה זיקוקי דינור.
A lot of firecrackers.
והאנרגיה נשארת בתל אביב.
But the energy stays in Tel Aviv.
בזכות הבמה יוסי סידר, כשהסכמתי, ולשחקנים זה לא פשוט, להיות מינימליסט.
For Yosef Seder, I agreed to be something that is not simple for an actor, very minimalist.
בלי תחפושות, בלי מה שאני רגיל.
Without masks.
ערום.
Naked.
ודווקא האנרגיה הזו הגיעה לכאן.
And this energy came to Khan.
Interesting.
Thank you.
There's a question on the far right. Please, sir.
Bonjour, Frédéric Rougeau, RCF Alpha. C'est un film qui semble louer ou au minimum questionner l'humilité. Est-ce que ce questionnement est applicable quelque part au cinéma et puis à son organisation d'une manière générale?
I guess that's for me.
Sure, take it away.
Yeah. It's a good question. I don't know. You know, I think I was brought up with the notion that humility is important and it's a positive thing. Being here in Cannes, obviously, that's not the common feeling. The film world embraces ambition, even megalomania. Humility isn't necessarily part of what makes artwork worthy, so I'm not sure.
Could we have the microphone in the middle, please?
Actually, I don't have a question, but I have three comments about your movie. First comment, I think you choose the brother and son. There is no big difference in age between them. Difference in age between them. Second comment is, I think a movie so slowly, even slowly, and local. This is my opinion, and I'd like to listen your, what do you think of what I think? You know?
Yeah. I don't need these. That you're wrong, but it's okay. I mean, you're entitled to those
Thank
comments.
Thank you.
Joseph, maybe I'm going too far. Beaufort took place in a fortress, and the word fortress is so central to the denouement of the film. Is that a simple coincidence, or is the notion of fortress somehow core to the film, or to you?
It's a coincidence between the two films. But the word fortress in Hebrew is an interesting word because it has a negative and a positive meaning. Mm. And, you know, the first time you read something, I'm experiencing this with the reviews. You read a word that you're not, you know, can go either way. And if you want it to be the positive meaning, then that's what you'll internalize. And then later when... At 4 o'clock in the morning, when you rethink it, you say, maybe the meaning was actually the negative side. So fortress has that dual meaning, and what happens with Eliezer is that when he gets this award, of course, he sees everything in a positive light, and he reads the word in its positive meaning. Later, when the paranoia sinks in, not only does he see the negative meaning of the word, he can't escape it. The negative meaning of the word completely takes over his life.
The word, not the word fortress, but the word is so important in the film. On the one hand, Jews are considered to be the people of the book, so here the text is so important, but your treatment of the word is anything but ancient in this film. Was that also one of your considerations, that trying to find a way of dealing with text cinematically?
Well... You know, it's a big issue whether a film can rely on a written word, and I think there's a common understanding that you should avoid written text in film. Somehow that sounds right. Being a director who's made films in a language that very few people speak in the world, I've come to understand that most of my audience is seeing my films only through the written word. And for that reason, why not use it as part of the film, as part of the language? So once we pass that barrier, yes, a written word is something that is a tool that we can use to tell our story. We developed it into an aesthetic that I think is consistent with the entire film.
Thank you. Questions? Yes, on the far side.
Andrew McCarthy from the German press agency at Deutsche Presseagentur. You had a very ambivalent end to the film. Why did you decide not to have any on-screen resolution between the father and son?
In my mind, there is a resolution, but not necessarily on that question of the conflict between the father and the son. I think in the big sense, in the broad sense, the tension between fathers and sons is never resolved. It's what makes society move forward. And that part of the story has to stay unresolved, because between one generation to another, there has to be a gap. There has to be something that pushes one generation forward and allows it to separate itself from the previous generation. But the final shot in the film, in my mind, does resolve one dramatic element in the film.
Can I add something?
Of course.
In Hebrew, kind
of course.
הסיבה העיקרית שאני שמחתי לעשות הסרט, אפרופו השאלה הזו.
One of the major reasons I enjoyed making this movie, אפרופו this question.
אני הייתי ביחסים לא טובים עם ההורים שלי, ולא הספקתי להתפייס איתם לפני שהם נפטרו.
I was not in a very good relationship with my parents, and I didn't have a chance to reconciliate with them before they died.
בעיניי המסר הכי מעניין של הסרט זה לכו תתפייסו עם ההורים שלכם כל עוד אפשר, כי אחר כך זה ירדוף אחריכם כל החיים.
For me, a major message in this movie is go reconciliate with your parents while they're alive, because if not, it will hunt you for the rest of your life.
Lior, was the father-son conflict something that you could relate to, or
no,
is
this
the reach?
No, just pay me very good money, so, you know.
I'm afraid our time's up. Thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck with the film.
Thank you.